Oh, yeah. This is Cheater in the Rude, and you know, it's been a while since we've talked to you live, and I know it's been a while because that's not a normal intro music, but that's okay. I love everybody, especially our wonderful engineer. Hey, everybody, welcome to Cheater in the Rude. I'm Jeff Kreisler, author of Get Rich Cheating, and joining me as never is Lee Papa of the Rude Pundit Blogspot. You know, Lee hasn't been here in a while, so tonight we're going to do a little ghost reading of his of some thoughts he has on an issue of the day, sort of in memoriam for Lee Papa, the Rude Pundit, and of course, in memoriam suggests he's dead. He's not dead, he's just dead to me. But why do you have to worry about that? Just because Lee Papa is the wind beneath my wings doesn't mean he has to be, blowing on your parade. That's a phrase, right? Blowing on your parade. Listen, everyone, it's been a while. I gave you a couple doses of the Where the F Are We show with my friends Kevin Janice and Benari Poulton, and I'm going to have them guesting in with me frequently now. I like what they're doing. I think you will, too. But today I want to get to two things. First, I want to talk a little bit about this Obamacare thing that developed today where the president did the whole you can have your plans, because y'all don't seem to understand the whole concept because there's been so much misinformation. The point is you have to get better plans, and some small percentage of you are going to pay more per month, but then if something happens, you know, and coming from someone who had an unexpected heart surgery a couple of years ago, I understand that sometimes health issues cost thousands of dollars. That's the point of the insurance. It's not just for when you're healthy, but talk about that, and then we're going to talk some about money, because I'm working on a project right now about money, and I want to share some of my thoughts with you, because, you know, money is the root of all good. It's what got us all here. It's what got me writing a book about cheating, people cheating for money, Get Rich Cheating, as it was called, still is called that. But I want to start with the Obamacare thing today, and I want to because this is cheating, I'm just going to read Lee Papa's most recent blog post about this, and I want you to pretend that I'm doing a good Lee Papa impersonation, and I will be, because some people used to think that we sounded alike, but that's kind of bullshit, because he would always talk in one long sentence, and whereas I am always taking breaths and not having different pauses in my sentences, whereas he would always talk like ding 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 ding, or I could do it like Rush Limbaugh, but I don't do Rush Limbaugh. It's just nice to talk to real people. Speaking of which, anytime you want to come in with some thoughts, just give us a ring at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888. There's a lot of 8s and 4s and 1-7. It's a palindrome. Is it? 888-474-8484. No, it's not. But the point is, it's a good phone number, and I hope that you consider using it to call us in, call into us. This is why I haven't done the show at all, because I can't speak. The FCC said that if you can't speak, you have to be on regular radio, whereas here I am on PRN. We're moving forward, and we have a catchphrase. 11/14/2013. Obama to nation. Keep your fucking plans, you stupid cowards. Colon. In a sane era, not an ideal one, but a sane one, the president would have gone to congressional leaders and said, hey, what are some things we can do to make the Affordable Care Act work better? Now, in this fantasy sane era, and again, we're not saying it's some freaking kumbaya era of holding hands, but just a time when people in the government actually want the government to, you know, function like a government, members of both parties would offer things that they would like to see in the law. Democrats might have said something about outreach. Republicans might have said something like, why don't we let people keep their health care plans? Things would have been negotiated, and the law would have been strengthened or at least smoothed up a bit. Alas, we do not live in such an era. Instead, we must deal with the constant buzzing of our water boatman politics. The water boatman is an insect that, relative to its size, gives off a mighty sound. It makes this annoying chirp buzz by constantly rubbing its dick on its belly. There's your picture for the day. Ted Cruz rubbing his cock and scraping it back and forth across his hairy stomach as if it's a call for perverse teabaggers to mate with his narrow self-serving ideology. Bzz, 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 Teddy Cruz. Instead of Barack Obama and the House GOP agreeing that the law is the law and making it function for Americans, we get Obama appearing before the press corps and saying, more or less, God damn it! I'm sick of you motherfuckers lying about your shitty-ass health insurance getting canceled because your provider's such a bunch of sick, greedy dickheads who would murder you where you sit if it could squeeze one more cent of profit out of your useless bodies. You want to cling to your high-deductible, low-benefit policy for another year because you're scared the black man president might be right and call that Fox News noise might be wrong? Fine. Fuck it. Kiss my ass and keep your shit plan. Don't come whining to me when it turns out that your insurer drops your sorry ass when you get too sick for it. You asked to be grandfathered in, so lick Grandpa's balls and tell me how tasty they are now. Now, can we please talk about the fact that Republicans want to kick 100,000 people who just got insurance off it already? I mean, come on! That last part was me. Imagine for a moment, just one clear moment, what would have happened if, after the law passed, Republicans hadn't been such total pricks about it? If just a quarter of the votes to repeal Obamacare had been instead on things that make the law stronger or even more Republican? No, they couldn't have done that. That would legitimize the law and Barack Obama as president. They'd have to keep hitting the Affordable Care Act as if it's the last windmill in Spain. Just think, though, what would have happened if all states had set up their own exchanges? You know, the most successful ones out there are the ones that were run by the states. If Kentucky is a successful state, Kentucky! If they had just accepted the Medicare expansion, if. Look, it wouldn't have been perfect, but at least it would have worked as if it was created, as it was created to work, instead of this horrific Frankenstein monster of a thing it was forced to become. The only way not having a public option for insurance works is if the states act responsibly. And they did not, in a way calculated to undermine the president and a Congress from just a few years ago. Democrats got suckered again into thinking the Republicans would act honorably. If President Obama feels frustrated, it's because he should be. It used to be people gave a damn when a law was passed. They shifted their perspective and acted in concert with the law. If they disagreed with it, they elected new people who overturned it, if the courts wouldn't. But the tactics used by the right on Obamacare would have made Abby Hoffman and his most radical say, God damn, that'll lead to anarchy! On January 1, there's probably going to be a hospital sit-in or some bullshit. It's hilarious the GOP is acting as if pre-Affordable Care Act, it was all free gold and chocolate for people with health insurance. Not that it was and remains a cruel, callous capitalist system that saw people routinely kicked off their policies for taking one too many pills or being a little late with payment. So can we move forward now? Is it possible to get to the place where we simply try to, for F's sake, try to get some people health care and not act like it's just a privilege for the few? And I will add that we are gloriously happy that it's screwing everybody and there's going to be more death and mayhem. I love it when the flames flick at the city of Rome because I'm the only one with this fiddle. The last little part was me also. Those are Lee's thoughts on the Affordable Care Act and what's happening now. And, you know, today's thing was kind of reminded me of when Obama had to go out and read his birth certificate. It was kind of like, come on, you freaking people. Are we seriously dealing with this? Like, I mean, you know, part of the reason why perhaps we haven't had the show as regular as possible, as regular as it used to be, is because I just can't get on there and say, for 30 minutes. It's not allowed by the SEC. They said I have to do that. We have to swear. And while it implies an activity that might be described using inappropriate words, is not itself an inappropriate word. And yet, I find that it is the only descriptive for what it's... what he's not having. Yeah, not having the system. I'm not having it at all. I'm not having short-term memory. I'm not having the destructive, short-sighted efforts of the right be so gleefully celebrated because they've managed to, after, 3 years, 3 years of trying to topple a law, they finally managed to wound it when, after having arrows and knives and whips and bombs and chainsaws all used against it, finally starts to stagger out of the gate, understandably wounded because it hasn't been given any food or water for 3 years, hasn't been given a chance to grow, that they gleefully celebrate. And it's not like it's the Kraken. It's not a raging bull. It's a giving. It's a tree. It's a tree planet to grow roots and to provide shade and fruit and mulch and warmth and shelter. And it's not even, it's just, you know, I mean, I got a kid, and I'm just going to put him in a bubble, and I'm going to push the bubble out in the sea, and I'm going to be like, all right, bro, here's a ukulele, learn to make some music, because people just don't seem to care here. It's all short sight. I'm interviewing a school. I'm schools, the future, you know, the future, the people, Republicans don't care about the future. They figure they can all afford private schools. They can afford private everything. Let's privatize everything. And the people can afford to not be swimming through lakes of fire. We'll not swim through lakes of fire, which is great. Except you forget the tall buildings are built on top of the first floor. And if the foundation is weak, it will all crumble, my friends. And if you mix enough metaphors in the secular and religious world, eventually you will come to conclude that, you know, you know what I'm trying to say. It says, my thoughts are as clear as our political leaders. The coherent vision is just is defeat for the other side. As I said before, it's like they're the tandem skydivers, or the amateur on the front pointing to the back going, oh my gosh, parachute don't open. So I've shifted my gaze a little off the direct political process and sort of looking more at the root, and that, of course, is money. And the reason why it is money is, you know, let me flash you back to when President Obama got in trouble for saying that certain people cling to their guns and religion. People cling to their guns and religion because it gives them a sense of control and power and understanding and explanation for the world and a sense that they are able to command the forces about them. Well, for most people, if it's not guns and religion, for most people it's money. And by most people, I mean left and right and rich and poor, it's money. Because they feel like if they have enough money, they have control. They can command the forces that swirl about them because they can spend their money, whether it's a crisis and they can get a hotel room and some gas, or they can go to the best schools and get the best nannies and hire chefs to teach their nannies how to cook to their kids. There's a story about that recently. Or they can hire writers to write their fifth grade student's campaign speech, as someone did with me. I was at the school today for my kid. He's not even two, but I was just checking out different schools, and they were talking about how, you know, when they graduate eighth grade, our kids all write and give a speech about what their experience has been like, and I was just chuckling, like, let's just cross a river back into Manhattan, and those kids will have those speeches written for them by speechwriters. It's redonkulous. Anyway, so money is what people cling to. And I've been thinking a lot about money. I've been thinking about money for years. I mean, heck, I wrote a book, Get Rich Cheating, so I haven't mentioned that in the last 2 minutes. And I'm working on this other book about the psychology of money. You know, there's a difference between thinking about money in the macro terms, sort of how society and politics and culture is driven by the pursuit of money, and then also just the micro, the thing about how you and I are dealing with money. And micro is probably appropriate, because I'm sure that most people listening like me are not full of macro money. It's micro money, which is like those little micro cars that guy used to have with a mustache, used to talk real fast. Tiny little bit of money, you know, tiny little bit of money. Hey, everybody, you want to go buy some croissants? You can buy croissants. You can buy coffee. You can buy all sorts of things. You want to buy stock? Nope, you need macro money for micro money. You can buy tiny little things, scarves, gloves, hats, but a warmer house? No, sir, that's macro money. Anyway, the micro car is micro money. Affects everybody. And it has always surprised me that we spend so much time thinking about money. We spend so much time thinking about how to get money, how to spend money. Do we have enough money? When are we going to have money later? Are we saving it? Are we in debt? We think so much about money, but we don't think about how we think about money. And I believe it's important that we do, because money can fuck with you. Money is hard, man. And you ever stop and think about what is happening? Like, if you go to a store to buy, some printing paper, and it costs $10, but the clerk tells you, hey, go across the street, it's only $5. Would you go across the street to get that paper? Most of you probably would. If you go to another store and you're buying a mattress set and it costs $1,000, and the clerk, when you get to the front, says, hey, you can go across the street and get that for $995. Would you go across the street and get it? Most of you probably would not. And yet, from a coldly economic perspective, that's $5 across the street in both cases. But you wouldn't do it. And that's just one example. It's really about the psychology of money. Yes, it's a percentages thing, and there maybe are quality issues with beds that don't apply to paper. My point is, hard and fast economics doesn't always apply in the real world on an individual level. You know, there's a book, Predictably Irrational, how people don't behave rationally. And I even take another look. Economics is supposed to be supply and demand. They're brought into equilibrium by perfect access to all information. Perfect access to all perfect information. Well, you know, first of all, there isn't perfect information. I mean, the great success of the right, of the moneyed interest, forget about right and left in politics, but unless you are like me and believe that moneyed interests are more aligned with the right than they are with the left, which they are, not that the left is immune, but they are more aligned. Look at the paper of Justice Powell's memo from 1970, whatever it was. Their great success has been to muddy the information pool, like the information superhighway. In recent years, has gotten a lot of pileups on it. I mean, the media, the Fox News, the misinformation, it's all so that we don't have perfect information. So the information itself is a commodity that only a select few are able to have perfect access to. And then they can insider trade and then keep aside a little fund for settling all their cases. I mean, like all these companies, SAC Capital and JP Morgan, they have litigation funds now. It's not just to hire lawyers to sell parking tickets. It's to bribe the SEC and the Justice Department when they get busted for being in a different – it's not even that they're playing by the rules of a crooked game. It's not even that the field is tilted. They're in like a different stadium. They're not even on the same – they're not even playing the same sport. So information is not equal. That part of supply and demand – I think we can agree, and the basic economic model is missing. That's one element why pure economics doesn't work. But you know what? I'm willing to, for a second, put that aside, because I think that supply and demand and information, it's missing. Like, we're missing the information about you, about each person, about each individual, about our psychology, how we think and how we feel. Because yeah, maybe when you take a cumulative picture of a million people, it's not the word I'm looking for, but a million economic actors taking action, you can pretty much say, oh, they're all going to buy this, they're going to buy all this for $3.95, right? But some people will pay $4.50 and some $2.50. It's like a million monkeys with a million typewriters. Yeah, maybe you'll get Shakespeare, but you're also going to get a lot of clunkety clink clonk clonk. And that's what most of us have. You know, most of us create the clonkity clink clonk clonk, particularly when it comes to money, because money is such a it's an important and powerful and confusing and hard thing. I mean, you know, money is how we value so much of our society. Money is how we value so many of our things. It's how we have created a means to comparatively compare apples and oranges. You can't compare apples and oranges, they say, but you can. If there's money involved, you can say, well, this is a dollar and this is $1.25. Therefore, et cetera, et cetera. So we use money all the time. I mean, can you imagine a world without money? To wake up by the light of the day, because you can't afford alarm clocks, are you kidding me? You can't afford shades either. I mean, what do you do? what's your skill to barter in the world without money? Were you a web designer, graphic designer, clothes designer, some sort of designer? That's all we are, huh? That doesn't make sense. You don't have money. You wake up and you wander through the day trying to barter chicken in 2 weeks for the price of sewing up some guy's lapel and. You know, it wouldn't be a pleasant world, so we need money. I'm not saying money is evil. I'm not saying money is unnecessary. I'm just saying money, you know. You don't know, because I'm not finishing my sentences, right? Is that what you guys are all thinking out there? Don't worry. Listen, let me take a little momentary break here to offer you a commercial message. Coming up after Cheater on the Road is the final edition of Radio Wow, which I got to tell you, I'm extremely proud of. We've been making some incredible strides. It's been spending a lot of time on it, so I haven't been here as much. I locked Lee Papa up in the attic of some guy's house, and he's been working on it nonstop. That's why he's so angry and so rude. I read part of his blog post for him out of generosity because I felt like he was misrepresented amongst people, and you should tune in to Final Edition Radio Hour, and if you miss it, go to thefinaledition.com, and if you miss something that's going on here, check us out at jeffchrysler.com or getrichcheating.com, because coming soon will be more about this money stuff. I mean, it's really, you know, when I grew up, every accomplishment. Not so much when I grew up, but like when I grew up as an adult. Now, you know, I got out of the womb after grad school. It's the frightening thing. And then I grew up. And now I'm 7. Every accomplishment is always greeted by, how much did it pay? I got on this show. How much did it pay? I was on TV. How much did it pay? I sold over. How much did it pay? You know what? Money, I understand why you would do that, because you can't understand the value of the intangible. You want to, like, fall back into money because that's something that you, that literally there's a number figure to it. So you can measure it. And most of life is not measurable. But we need to use money until we're all living on a commune, which we really are in a way, living on a commune, but until we all have psychic powers to really, you know, measure each other's feelings. Then we're going to have to keep using money. So if we're going to keep using money, let's understand sort of like how we screw up and how we mess up and how we're manipulated, so that we can, you know, try to do better and try to, like, understand money better so that it itself becomes less of a fog on our lives. And then we can go on to the living. We can go on and move beyond that, right? Right. I got to write this down. And this down here says we got 2 minutes. 2 minutes left. This is your last chance, people. 888-874-4888. See, it's almost a palindrome. It's got eights on either side. There's a four in there. Seven. I mean, you know, what more could you want? Listen, everybody, don't get freaked out about money, okay? Just think about what you're doing, and it's going to be okay. Same with Obamacare. Same with John Oliver leaving The Daily Show. Same with whatever troubles you have. Don't get freaked out about it. Take a deep breath. Grab your loved ones, and don't forget to look up. If there's one thing I can leave you with on this, the penultimate Cheater in the Root of November 2000, whatever it is, I think it's 13. Don't forget to look up. All right, that's going to do it for Cheetah on the Road. It all made sense to me. We're going to be back. We're going to be back next week. Is next week Halloween? No, next week's not even Thanksgiving either. But we'll be back next Thursday. Check us out at Jeff Chrysler on the Twitter, or Rude Pundit on the Twitter, or on our Facebook page. Just search for Cheetah in the Rude, or wherever it is that you want to find stuff. Take a look. This is Cheetah in the Rude on Progressive Radio Network. Stick around for the final edition. Progressive Radio Network is moving forward, and it has a catchphrase. Good night, everybody. What about my-